back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 371, as this week we bring you the conclusion of WWE Taboo Tuesday 2004. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. As you know, my co-host Jim Valley is on a medical hiatus, filling in for him again this week. The very talented and busy John Paz of the two-man power trip. John, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 2004, and watch the conclusion of the 27-month feud between Shawn Michaels and Triple H that people had stopped caring about months ago?
Yes, I am ready. We had to finish this trilogy, this epic show, Taboo Tuesday. I had to finish it with you, and I had to see Triple H and Michaels wrestle one more time.
One more time. All right. Let's see.
Yeah, it's been an awesome Christian thing that he used to say. Remember, was it one more match?
Yes.
Remember, he used to get the credit.
One more match.
That's Triple H and Michaels. One more match.
That's right. You know, couldn't get enough of that. All right. Yeah. It's been a crazy day here. I got the call. My son had to bring him home sick from daycare. So that was just another in a line of fun days. That's going to be my excuse for not having enough show prep for this, but we're going to make up for it. I want to thank our many listeners, but this week I've got to thank the many listeners we have in the great nation of India, because we popped back up, according to Chartable, into the top 1,500 podcasts in India, and that's the highest we've been on that chart since March. So I don't know what it is that the nation of India found so exhilarating about Benoit and Edge versus La Resistance, or the Eugene and Bischoff match, but thanks, guys. We really appreciate it.
They love their wrestling over there. I've noticed that. Yeah, big time.
They do, and it's very much appreciated here. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to top that news. So anyway, thank you very much. We're gonna keep striving to bring more and more of you people aboard, and tell your friends about this show if they're not listening. I know it's been around for a while, but we're still doing it all these years later. Also, of course, we have a patreon.com/waybackplayback. The first two parts of the bonus episode we're putting together with John about the Global Wrestling Federation are on there, and hopefully the third one will be on there shortly. So, go to patreon.com/waybackplayback. Sign up now. Get the entire archives. Get shows in advance. Get shows without commercials. You know, all that stuff. All right. So this is the part where we go back and look at the reviews of the show. And we don't have the Observer up from 2004, although I don't think there's anything special about that. I think Dave Meltzer pointed out that it wasn't great. I didn't really check, but let me check. I can check Wade Keller's star ratings for this show, which I don't think there was that much of a difference, to be honest. Let's see here.
I wonder why Dave doesn't make everything available.
Well, I mean, he's busy. He's a busy man, and you want to. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. You want to spread some of that out. I get that part, I guess. Obviously, because the entire archive is up and on our Patreon, I do have a partnership with Wade for the limited purpose of promoting this show but subscribe to the Torch if you want the like that complete archives of the last, I don't know, 30 years of this business. That's all up on the Torch, including a lot of stuff that I did. So, all right, so let's see here. The worst match on the show, according to Wade, was either Eugene and Bischoff, okay, or the Christy Hemme Carmella De Cesar match, which the only thing Wade wrote about it is whatever it wasn't good.
Okay. Yes.
I that's succinct. I like that. Let's see, best match of the show. We're about to see. It's a tie between the last two matches, both of which came in at a whopping 2.25 stars. The actual ratings on the show on the 1 to 10 scale, I think I gave it the highest score, and I gave it a 5. I'll read you my brief, the brief version of it. If you ordered this pay-per-view to see really good wrestling matches, Taboo Tuesday was a disappointment. If you like pay-per-view where there are a lot of storyline developments, you probably walked away from tonight feeling that you got your money's worth. And what else did I put in here? My big complaint of the show, according to this. After hearing everybody talk about how Eric Bischoff was going to end up shaved bald, it was disappointing to see him at the end of the show looking like he'd come back from supercuts with a hairstyle that looked better than the one he was sporting at the top of the show. Bald means bald, people. Obviously, I was very upset about this. Wade Keller.
Do you remember writing any of that?
I wrote a lot of pay-per-view reviews in 2004, plus TNA was on every week, so not remembering all of them. I remember some of the funny ones, but that's about it. Wade Keller, Torch Editor, gave it a 3.5. Writing, when I look back at the show, I'd like to be thinking about the memorable, I'm not going to give you the stuff in the last two matches, or Shelton Benjamin capturing the Intercontinental title, or the major angle with Gene Snitsky and Kane. Instead, I think about Coach. Coach introducing every match, Coach polling the crowd, Coach having a conference with Eric Bischoff, Coach getting stripped to his boxers, Coach wearing a dress, Coach being called a slut by Vince McMahon, Coach everywhere. So what I'm saying is too much Coach tonight. Okay. That's good. Also, the fan voting concept is salvageable. This is a poor execution of a concept with potential. Let's see. James Gutman, formerly of the Torch, gave it a 3.5 also, saying we had Tuesday in Texas and we've had Taboo Tuesday. The only difference is that Tuesday in Texas was cheaper and gave us a pretty good angle with Jake Roberts and Elizabeth. Tonight wasn't as good. The voting concept had the potential to be good. Unfortunately, the execution tanked. And let's see. Flair Orton wasn't horrible, but okay, yeah. See. All right, and talked about Flair and Ortman, and did we really need Michaels and Hunter headlining another show? No, of course we didn't. Jason Powell gave it a 2.5, saying the first 2 hours of this show were every bit as awful as WCW's dreaded uncensored pay-per-view. The last hour wasn't a whole lot better, but at least this saved this show from the 1.0 show it seemed destined to receive. And Bruce Mitchell, with a very short review, Bob, I'm not going to read the whole thing even, but he gave it a 4. Saying, I have a lot of respect for the guts, professionalism, and acting ability of Shawn Michaels, but WWE should have found a way to get him out of the match. As W might tell you, sometimes you have to overturn the vote for the good of the country. Boo. The Edge story, where he was bitter at not being recognized as a top contender, was also positive. At some point, though, you need some good wrestling matches. And Kane couldn't carry Gene Snitsky at all, although, again, I enjoyed seeing that rapist get his. And boy, was it stupid to hear Jim Ross sell outrage about the fate of a guy who poured gasoline on him and set him on fire. Well, there you go. So Bruce wins as usual. That's how this goes. All right.
That is some good logic there, though. That kind of made no sense.
No. It's just the start of 17 more years of WWE making little to no sense. And page 3, we are back here on a lovely Sunday evening during the ad break. I'm here with John Paz, a legend. The Two-Man Power Trip does at least a dozen podcasts. So people are asking about our Patreon, because we have it, and we do these commercials each week to tell people that they can go on Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback, decide what tier they want. Each tier comes with the ability to get shows a day or two in advance, plus ad-free. Plus access to our vast archive, which now is up about 369 shows as of this week. And speaking of our Patreon, John and I are probably going to record something for Patreon right after this. So, we'll do a teaser right here. John, I'll give you some choices for what we might go over after this on Patreon. You can have it's we're covering 2004, October 2004. So it can be WWE from that the fall 2004 time period, or TNA or TNA Impact from the fall 2004 time period, or you can go for what's behind door number 3.
Let's go door number 3. Let's go with some random stuff here. You got?
Well, I need something that we haven't done before, either on Patreon or on the main show. So how about we tackle something from the Global Wrestling Federation, which was on ESPN during the early 90s, featuring at least at the start a whole lot of good talent, and then later a whole bunch of the Dallas talent from the Sportatorium. I bet we can find one from that era, and we'll give it the once over and start doing a little bonus of that this week for the folks on Patreon. And if you miss Jim Valley during his absence, there's a whole lot of Jim Valley bonus material. There's all the bonus matches and shows that we've done. That'll be on the Black Scorpion tier if you want to check that out. Or if you want to become an advertiser, just drop the big payment in the advertiser tier, or just drop us an email. Find me at patmcneil@live.com. And John, what's your Patreon?
Patreon.com/TMPTEmpire.
Well, I think that makes a wonderful holiday present, getting a gift to the Wayback Playback patron and getting a subscription for somebody to the Two-Man Power Trip Empire.
I love it. It brings music to my ears. I love that idea.
Yes, plus you get out of listening to advertisements like this exact one, for example. And speaking of which, we'll get back to the program. Thank you very much for listening. So we left this off at 1 hour, 59 minutes and 32 seconds. And if you get nothing else for this show, at least you're going to get the two big matches that we promised here. Hope everybody, and it's the start of Crown Jewel Week. So, so you got that going for you, which is nice. I've got a screen, an outside shot of the arena and a live Milwaukee, Wisconsin thing on it. John, how are you?
Exactly where I am as well. I love it.
Oh, beautiful. All right, let's all hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Okay. Yeah, I guess the next big Wayback Playback event is our annual Thanksgiving show, and we've got a few weeks to prepare for that, so.
Nice.
Jerry Lawler's sweating, I guess, from that Carmella and Christy Hemme thing.
Christy Hemme, yeah, no doubt about it.
He says he's experiencing personal growth. Okay, thank you. We needed that. We needed that, Jerry. Thanks a whole bunch.
Great joke, Jerry.
Although I was reading some of the observers leading up to this show are there, and literally a couple of weeks before this. November? Yeah, October 19th. Yeah, literally a couple of weeks before this show. they started out with Triple H and Ric Flair doing an interview. And Ric Flair talking about how he wanted to make Randy Orton bleed and how he got his reputation by making virgins bleed. And apparently that line made Vince McMahon freak out backstage to the point where he was just irate and people were worried that he was going to fire Ric Flair before the pay-per-view. And Vince's rationale was, well, we invited sponsors to this taping. We need them to hear that and Flair going off on his own. And at which point it's pointed out, hey, you're doing an angle where a lady you're in the middle of doing an angle where a lady miscarries and you got another angle where this one woman's calling the other woman a gutter slut. I don't know, Vince.
Yeah, and literally Snitsky takes a baby out and punts it into the crowd. Like, come on, yeah. Vince. Seriously?
All right. Well, anyway, the champ is here. Triple H is here.
That entrance is weird because you get that weird metal part. Yeah, the keyboard thing, but that metal part there, you blocked off part of the camera shot on Triple H. I thought that was an odd execution there.
Yeah, it didn't work out the way you wanted it to, I guess. All right. We've already had two titles change hands. And here we go.
Could there be a third?
Yes, could there? Would there? Will there? I don't know. I mean, there are people who were thinking that there was, before the injury, there was a possibility that maybe they'd have Michaels win the title, based on and make Hunter have to win it back. I don't know.
They went to the well too many times though with this match. I mean, it's a bit overboard.
Plus, they did Hell in a Cell in July 2004, and you'd think that would be the end of it. You'd think.
Yep.
All right. Okay, so Jerry Lawler thinks Michaels is going to ride to the ring on a golf cart, which might not have been a bad idea, all things considered. It's a better idea than wrestling with a busted up knee. Okay.
So what do you think about this feud always going on and Triple H being the one, even though he's the heel, he's always the one in the end getting the big win or getting the big victory. You think it's just because he's the younger guy and he needs it?
We're always built around Triple H. I mean, yeah.
Is that good or bad, though?
I didn't care for it. I mean, I thought it got a little bit tedious. I mean, if you know that Hunter's always going to get the title back, then, it sort of kills a lot of the suspense. It's like knowing that Vince McMahon's always going to come back, no matter no matter how many times you think you've gotten rid of them. I mean, that those were major problems that the WWE was having, and part of the reason that they were hemorrhaged a bunch of viewers over the last 20 years.
Here, you got to be thinking the heat's got to be on the fans, no? I mean, the guy can barely walk, and they vote him into the match. I mean, it's...
You would think some of it.
Right?
Right.
So this is their fault. This guy can barely walk. Well,
okay, but how? But I don't remember. How many of these votes were cast before they knew Shawn Michaels was injured?
Oh, true, true. I mean, they're going to be regretting those votes now, though.
I mean, unless they opened up the vote like the same day that it took, you know, the day of the pay-per-view, I'm not seeing it. Plus, I think they had to be teasing it. They had to be teasing the votes like on Raw. They had to be trying to get people to vote because they wanted to, you know, claim they had like 80 million votes or whatever. Okay. If Shawn's leg was really that bad, why wouldn't he beg off the match, according to Lawler? Yeah.
It's a world title show. You're not going to give up that opportunity. The fans should have just not voted for him. They should have been smart.
Vince should have been smart enough to vote for somebody else, yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, WWE could have just said, hey, yeah, we're pulling Shawn out of the match. Too bad. You know, here you get your chance to pick, you know, put a third guy in there, but... Well, maybe not Shelton Benjamin because they wanted him to do something else. Yeah, there's got to be a third person that can put him there.
This is kind of the end of the run for those tights, too. You know, before he eventually changes to those big, baggy kind of leathery pants that he changes to in 05.
Right. It's the end of an era. I mean, you're in front of, you know, you've managed to cram 3,000 people into a 12,000 seat arena, and you're on Tuesday, and it's drawing almost nothing on pay-per-view, despite the idea that you're going to have a hot Raw that's going to, you know, convince people to buy the show, which it didn't. I don't know. Anyway, there it is. The moment you've all been waiting for. I mean, I still think you can make a very, you know, interesting 3-hour Raw out of this if you're, you know, if you're actually trying, I guess. If you have any wrestling people cares about.
Michaels is thinking about right now. He's like, how could I carry this guy to a good match when I can barely walk?
Well, Triple H thinks he thinks, how am I going to carry this guy to a good match?
Right, exactly. Yep.
Well, I mean, and Triple H is calling the match. Let's not kid ourselves. So, and then they've probably worked out some stuff backstage, you know, or at least got some ideas.
It's crazy though, with all like the good guys that Triple H was able to work with, I feel like Michaels might have been his best opponent, even though they worked it way too many times.
I think you're right. I mean, there were a bunch of good matches that they did once they started feuding. I mean, but I gotta say, you know, probably the best one they did in that feud was the first one, the SummerSlam 02 one.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, that
when
was,
you didn't even know if Michaels could still go, and boy, he proved that wrong. Yeah, he proved that wrong.
Just needed a few years of not bumping to straighten things out.
Did you ever see that match in Texas? And I guess it was around 2000, him against Paul Diamond.
I did not. I heard about it.
Pretty good brawl. He doesn't take many bumps. Paul Diamond takes all the bumps, but it's pretty crazy.
That's fine. You know, I mean.
But it's crazy. It's like, I thought this guy was injured. Like, you wouldn't really know if you were watching him. You'd be like, oh, Michaels is back. Okay, he's healthy. Mm-hmm. He wasn't really showing too many signs of injury. But good match for what it was. Just wild brawl.
And supposedly they were planning to bring Michaels back in 2001. And, you know, and so they bring him to the Raw after WrestleMania because they're getting started on... they're getting started on what's coming after Mania, and they want Hunter to have somebody to work with, and they want to be Michaels, and Michaels shows up in no condition to perform, and they're just furious with him. They're like, get the hell out of here, like furious. So that's how you get a round of, you know, Kane and Undertaker versus the two-man power trip. You know?
Yep.
Hence the name.
Yep.
In fact, I should probably go back and pull that up here. Just to make sure, but yeah, that was, every time you think, you know, every time you're wondering what the hell they were doing, you know, how the hell they got to this awful idea, It was they had a good idea and something got screwed up a lot of the times. Now, you know, how do you explain what some of the things that have gone on in 2021 and 2020? I don't know.
Yeah, there's nothing there. Terrible.
They're just out of ideas. I mean, yeah.
Yep. Only thing I don't like about 01 and Triple H and Austin together is Austin turning heel. I just feel like the crowd wasn't into it. They didn't want it at that point. Just a weird situation.
I mean, I understand where Austin was kind of going, okay, I'm turning heel, it'll be fun. Yeah. And I mean, Austin was having fun during during the first, you know, the part of it, but it was starting not to work, and people were starting to cheer him, even though he was the heel, and you know, he kept it going for another 8 months, really, you know, kept it going through Survivor Series.
Yep. And then that next night on Raw, he turned back babyface, but
yep. Just like never happened. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess they thought, well, I guess the Triple H injury obviously would end up ruining a big face run for H, and they wanted Rocky to be the guy, but he was doing some acting.
Yeah.
Then Wall gets hurt. I mean, a lot of crap went down there.
A lot of things went south there. But that's okay. They had Chris Jericho, so.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
But it just didn't work with Austin and him turning heel.
All right. Well. There was no demand to see Triple H and Jericho. And if there had been, you know, they killed it by putting Jericho with Stephanie and making him like, you know, like Stephanie's
and
bitch.
And the dog and that stupid storyline. Yeah. Yep. Horrible.
Yes, it was.
Triple H's babyface just never works. Never worked.
It can work for, it works in small doses, and that's about it. Yeah.
Much better as the heel. Much.
Yeah, he'd rather be the heel. You know, I mean, I think it was one of the writers who, you know, one of the ex-writers worked for him and said, you know, Triple H wants to be, you know, I mean, Triple H wanted, you know, if he'd given his choice, he'd want it to be the 70s, and he'd want to be the Harley Race of the, you know, going around to the territories and defending the title. I'm like, that makes sense. You know? I mean, whenever he had any influence, it was sort of this NWA, you know, old school, you know, heel champion type thing that he was doing. You know, perennial heel champ, kind of like what Flair did, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Almost exactly.
Although a much better comparison for Hunter is Harley Race than, you know, than Flair.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, then, but, you know, 2001 really, it really changed him, you know, the quad injury. he had to change, you know, he built up more muscle instead. It changed everything, his agility, his bumps, you know. He's not the same wrestler when he comes back, and geez, who would be?
Right, yeah, he was never nearly as athletic as he was in 98 or 97, you know what I mean? He just wasn't the same guy.
Go back to 2001, look at the No Way Out, the 2 out of 3 falls thing he did with Austin. He's fantastic in that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He and Austin worked great together. I mean, it made perfect sense. Okay, let's make Hunter and Austin the main event for WrestleMania 18, and we'll have them team together forever, and then have them split up. And yeah, okay, perfect. That's fine. And you know, I mean, probably would have been better if you'd had Austin turn back babyface and Hunter, but
Triple H.
Okay. But they wanted to build around. But they okay, Triple H is the guy. He's, you know. But he comes back and he's missing that, you know, I mean, his character is just more of a bully because he's got the size and he's, you know, can't move as well. I don't know. It's just not. He adjusted and he made do with the fact that, you know, he worked smarter. Kind of like Shawn Michaels adjusted and worked smarter and wasn't taking as many insane bumps now.
This is a great sell job, by the way, by Michaels here. I mean, he's really selling it, grabbing the ref. You think the guy's leg is broken, which is it is legit hurt a little bit, but I mean, he's great selling.
This can't be fun for Sean. I mean, he's probably loaded up, you know, they probably given him something for the pain and like, okay, you know, gut it out. Yeah, there he goes. He reaches the reps. Okay. And there, I mean, this is, you know, this, at the very least, it's well executed for what they're doing and what they have to work with.
Triple H, that cold-hearted bastard.
Yeah, but this couldn't be the main, but for obvious reasons, this couldn't be the last match.
Yes. If Michaels is healthy, it's probably a different situation.
Michaels is healthy, they're going 30. Probably. Just a hunch. And they're not stumbling, and they're not stumbling around for, and they don't have that Eugene and Bischoff skit that that doesn't last forever, and you know.
Right. And your boy, the coach, as Wade Keller said, you know, taking over the show basically.
Right. Don't need that. Oh, there we go.
Oh, good spot there.
You had Jason Sensation on your show this week.
Yes. Yes.
Speaking of Attitude Era, speaking of, yeah.
Yes, great impressionist. If you actually close your eyes and listen, like some of his impressions, you would swear. You know, it's Hogan or Piper or something. Like, he's insanely good.
Yeah. Well, kind of a shame that they stopped using him, but, you know.
Yep. And it's interesting. Right. He told me that WCW was interested in him, and WWF made sure that they signed into a contract.
Yeah.
And even when they weren't using him, they just didn't want him to go to WCW. I was like, wow, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure Russo. Yeah, I'm sure Russo. Yeah. Russo was taking everybody, so. During that last period.
It's pretty cool, though, if you think about it. It's like, you know, you're not, he is a trained wrestler, but he's not, you know, normal wrestler. He's more of an impressionist
right. That's
kind of breaking into the business otherwise. And there's almost like a fight for, like, hey, I want to sign this guy to a contract. I mean, pretty cool feeling. And to be a part of the Attitude Era and everything, it's pretty awesome, right. Jason Sensation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the old joke is for every wrestler WCW signed, they had somebody better that they hadn't used for 6 months.
Yes. Yep. Or you got Lanny Poffo getting paid to sit at home.
I mean, that was just a rider added on to Randy's set contract. So yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
But I mean, they were I'm sure they talked about using him at some point.
Yeah. Oh no! Don't use that knee. Oh no.
Oh no! Not the. Oh no! He used the bad knee. How could he do that?
Oh.
What a horrible idea. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going, that's not smart. And a third time, you can't just use the other. Well, then you're putting your weight on the other knee. So I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe he's got the knee brace too. He's going right into his nether region there. Yep.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's something you can point out. Can you imagine the pain that's racking the body of Shawn Michaels? Well, I'd rather not. But, you know, I mean, I've torn up my knee before. It's no fun. You want nothing to do with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Michaels is the one guy, like, throughout his career that I never liked him, you know, as a character or personality. Right. But I was always like, man, this guy always puts on a good match.
Yeah.
But I hate him. Like, you know, I'm at Survivor Series 96. I'm rooting heavy for Sid. But it's like, damn, that was a great match.
Yep. I mean, I thought it was going to, yeah. I thought 95, he turns back babyface. This is going to work out. Yeah, this is going to work out. And, you know, it kind of did, and it kind of didn't. 95 was just a terrible year for them. So.
Yes, yep. I mean, 96, if you look back, his run is kind of uninteresting, but the matches are great. Like, the pay-per-view matches are all great.
Yeah, they couldn't, they didn't have them. That was why that was why, as Vince pointed out, that was why we were going to turn Brett heel, because we didn't have the heels that could work. Yeah. We needed heels to work with Austin and Michaels. Well, yeah. Oh, there we go. Good job, Sean. Unfortunately, he turned back around too soon.
Kyoto almost caught him, kind of.
Like, what was that?
Oh, DDT.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, Kyoto almost mistimed that, and then he had to, like, kind of pretend he didn't see it.
He had to cover, yeah.
Yep.
Did you do that? Did you really do that? I don't believe you did that.
Good job by Kyoto there. Kind of.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, he did the best he could.
Don't do it, Sean.
Now, the
don't
problem is Sean's finisher is the super kick, so. Yeah. Even Lawler's like, yeah, you should cover him.
Don't they also have a match at the end, like the year end of Raw, and they both of their shoulders are pinned to the mat? I remember that being a good match, and I thought Michaels had won, but all four of their shoulders were pinned to the mat.
That's quite possible, yes.
I think it's maybe a month or so after this. I guess it's 2 months after this.
Yeah, but this is, these are pay-per-views, yeah. I mean, you're really gonna argue that TV shows count? I mean, no, I know what you mean, though.
Yeah. Like they never let this feud die.
I mean, they had that booking pattern going where, you know, Michael, you know, every 6 months they build up to Michaels getting a title shot and then, you know,
yep.
And he gets screwed out of it somehow by Hunter. Dave Batista interfering. How dare he?
What the hell?
What the hell is Dave Batista doing here? Well, I mean, that's the only spot. I mean, that's what he got. He got paid to show up and do that. So why not? And he walks into a super kick. Oh, my goodness.
Super kick.
Super kick. Steve Corino. Super kick.
Super kick party.
That's right.
Oh, Edge.
What?
He teased us earlier on. Remember, he teased us earlier on.
And the spear.
He teased it earlier. He said he was going to get some revenge on Michaels.
When he does it to Sean, when it does it to John Cena, it gets over better.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't believe this. It should have been me.
Really protecting Michaels here. Two guys cheating, and he's got a.
I mean, ideal. I suppose they wanted to start Shawn Michaels versus Edge, and maybe they would have done that if, you know. Maybe they would have done that if Michaels was healthy. This will not end this way. It can't. Ah. Although I think Michaels is back for WrestleMania 21. There we go. Damn it. Damn it to hell.
Yeah. Versus Kurt Angle.
Yes.
Great feud.
Yeah, that worked out well.
Actually. Damn it, Triple H wins. Son of a bitch.
God, son of a bitch. Hunter's still the world heavyweight champion. Oh, well. Oh, well, pass the popcorn. I'm not shocked that Batista got involved. Okay, so yeah, he could have been feuding with Batista or Edge. It doesn't matter.
Obviously, they didn't think Orton after this, even though he's main eventing this show and he's going to be Flair in the cage. Obviously, you thought it was going to be Orton Triple H at WrestleMania 21, but I don't know. I guess Triple H killed that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right, they burned through that, and that wasn't going to happen.
It's not mature enough. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think that Mark Jindrak could have been in Evolution over Batista, or you rather be Batista in Evolution?
It ended up being. I mean, you can't argue against Batista. That worked out very well.
Yeah, he fit the group better, I think.
I mean, yeah, Jindrak. I mean, why couldn't? Why, you know, after Orton left, they could have thrown Jindrak back in. They could have added a fourth guy.
Apparently it was Triple H again. He didn't like them together. He said that Jindrak and Orton partied together too much and they were too immature.
Daniel Rodimer was also, that name got thrown out.
Really? I don't remember that. Wow.
But not going to work out.
I wonder if Shawn Michaels is okay right now.
He's probably not feeling very perky as he's like, oh God, just get me to the back. Get me to the hotel. Yeah, it is big. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought one of Jim Ross's best lines back in the day when he talked about, you know, Michaels, he'll talk about how awful, you know, Michaels was as a person, but what a great wrestler he was, which is, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
Hopefully he's a better person now.
Oh, yeah.
And if he was really that awful, then he's getting what he deserves, having to run NXT for Vince. Jeez.
Yep.
Yeah. But I mean, that's a job I wouldn't wish on anybody right now. All right. There we go. They're getting Michaels to the back. Yeah, that's. Yeah, bad news for the rest of 2004, guys. You don't have Michaels. And I mean, they, you know, Michaels was kind of one of the glue guys that held Raw together. So. Losing him was bad.
Yeah, especially after Triple H buried everybody else on the show. I mean,
yeah.
He was like the only guy to go to.
Right.
Edge, you asshole. Damn it.
That bastard Edge.
Damn it.
Damn it to hell.
He just cost Shawn Michaels.
Well, but they had Batista ready. All right, there's Eric Bischoff. Boy, yep, supercuts Eric Bischoff. Nothing.
I always felt like when they do the shaved head thing,
Flair as a paramedic?
Oh,
that guy looks like David Flair. Probably not, but he looked like him.
I always thought that if you do the shaved head thing, either they should have a horrible haircut or like a melon head. Like you can't go like Bischoff. Like you actually look, he looks better. He looks like he has a good haircut.
I know. I work for the union. I'm not. Are you smiling? Nope.
What is what is your time stamp right now?
Oh, are you behind? Let's see. Okay, it's 2:23:50.
Oh, perfect. Okay, good.
We got.
I had a commercial thing, so I had
a glitch. Skip
through. Yeah. Yep.
All right. So let's look at all the results for tonight. Okay. Yeah. Shelton Benjamin is your Intercontinental Champion.
I still don't buy the 4 million viewers. I'm sorry. Or the 4 million votes. I'm sorry. I'm not buying
Well,
that.
Yeah, but I don't think there was any cap. I don't think there was any like one one viewer, one vote thing. You know?
Yeah. You know what, though? I mean, this pay-per-view is not great, but Benjamin Jericho and Triple H versus Michaels, I mean, you kind of get your money's worth with those two matches.
Yeah. And you got to see the girls in this, in Well, I mean, if you paid to see the divas in schoolgirl outfits, well, that happened.
Well, I guess Trish was, well, Keebler too, obviously, but that
and
was
well, and Molly Holly. I mean, let's not.
Oh yeah, yeah, you can't discredit her.
Yeah, no. Oh, Noreen.
I actually just saw somebody tweeted out a picture of Keebler. She was very young, but I guess she was always a big wrestling fan.
Oh yeah.
She had a Bret Hart sign up, and she said, "Bret, it says Bret, you're the man." So I was like, "Oh my God, that is her! She looks so young." So like, well,
she worked. I believe she worked as a valet in Baltimore, as Brittany Bosoms or something like that. Which, because she has almost no bosoms, is kind of a weird name. But
okay. Yeah, yeah, really known for the legs.
Yeah, yes, for yeah.
Snitsky, don't do this. Do not do this.
Oh, Snitsky got. Oh, look at him injuring Kane.
You could do that, but Flair can't say virgin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that could happen.
That's just the normal. Yeah, that's just normal nuttery that you get from Vince McMahon.
More people cared about Shawn Michaels' knee than possibly cared about Kane dying. Although the paramedics did take him out of the building, but I feel like they cared more about his knee.
Yeah. Like, well, Kane's a monster. He's not. Kane's the big red machine. He's not going to die. Jesus Christ. I mean, look at everything that's happened to Kane. Of course he's not going to die.
It was.
It's like being worried about Braun Strowman going to die, you know, when they made Braun unbeatable, unbreakable. All right. Eugene. The Hogan leg drop, as Lalo calls it. There we go. Good job. All right. I have a hard time. It's kind of hard to sell Eugene as Bischoff's nephew, but okay. And Coach put on a dress.
The weakest trimmers of all time. They're doing nothing.
Well, of course you put him in a dress. He can't shave Coach's head, so. All right. That leads us to this. Yep. Benoit and Edge. Which made sure that Benoit and Edge got used on the card.
Really showed kind of Edge, little foreshadowing there, teasing him being just a total a-hole, you know, heel.
And Edge still feuding with Benoit, so you got that going for you, which is nice.
And then you throw in the Shawn Michaels thing. Even though Michaels is hurt, that'll be good for possibly when he comes back. You got some possibilities out there. And this was a little swerve. We thought he left town, but obviously he did not.
Very clever. All right, and we get lingerie pillow fight.
This was did Wade say this was match of the night? I'm trying to remember.
No, he did not.
Oh, okay. Right.
He said that whatever it was, it wasn't good. Which, this was fine, and then the bell rang, I guess, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
What?
Oh, not the falsies, not that. Anything of that, not the pillows. Oh, my goodness. They'll all her shoulders up. Oh, he's right. Oh, my goodness. It's we need a rematch. No, we don't.
Right. Come on, Jack Doan. You're a better referee than that. Her shoulders clearly up. Come on.
Probably led to Vince ranting about, you know, they got to have their shoulders down.
What is that new rule, supposedly? Is that true about tag team matches? Vince doesn't want you breaking up the pin more than once?
Well, that's the way it used to be. That used to be an actual rule. You know, we only get one save per match.
Right, okay.
Second time it's a disqualification. So I guess we're going... So, I mean, that's fine if we hadn't had, like, 20 years of that being completely ignored. Can't be the Nature Boy. You'll never be the man until you beat the Nature Boy. All right, well, I don't know. Randy killed a lot of legends. Ooh, them's fighting words.
I like this feud. I thought this was good. It's like a nice little bump up for Orton. Get Flair back into the limelight. Yep. You know that they, or you thought they were going to push Orton to the top.
But you thought they had.
Yeah, with that title win. But yeah.
This generation's going to remember Ric Flair for kissing Triple H's ass.
Whoa.
Well. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff Flair did. I don't know if that's what things going to be remembered for.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Maybe being the greatest wrestler of all time. Maybe, possibly. Yeah. Flair Steamboat, Flair Funk, Flair Sting, Flair Vader.
Right. Oh, yeah. Randy Orton must defeat Batista. Oh, my goodness. So Orton, this is how Orton does not get in the Taboo Tuesday voting. Oh, geez. No disqualification. Here comes Flair. Rick Flair for kissing Triple H's ass. Well, I mean, he did that for a few years, yeah.
Oh, Flair just turned his back on Orton.
Of course he did.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. Yay. No, they're going to remember him for putting over Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 24. And then they're going to remember him for coming back in TNA. And then they're going to remember him for Ring of Honor. Yeah, I mean, there's so many things, you know?
Yes.
I mean, geez, there's so much stuff that Flair's done. I will get even. Right. Flair and Orton. I mean, they turned Flair and Orton into something, which is... There were so few times that they were able to turn pay-per-view matches into something. That,
yeah. You know, it
stands out.
And to me, it was so interesting because it's like, it's Flair still go? You know, 2004, can he still do it? How is he in the ring? Like, can he still be in the, you know, main event?
Featured match, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they, you know, first you had WCW going back to Flair, you know, every time that they had a bump in the road. Then every so often, you know, WWE trots out Flair.
Yeah, for sure.
Of course, not as many times as they would bring Undertaker back, though.
That is true.
Yeah, but they made Randy Orton. Mick Foley made Randy Orton. Then Benoit made him. Then, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Of course, the king of burials, Triple H, had to bury him because he said he's immature.
Well, he was immature. But I mean, this is pro wrestling. What do you expect? I mean, you want him walking around in a 3-piece suit with the Wall Street Journal? That's not Randy Orton. Okay, so false count anywhere, submission or steel cage. Yeah, and the crowd's already given this, it's like, yeah, okay, we'll see a cage match.
Well, since it's there, might as well use it.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious what submission Randy Orton was going to pull out, but okay. Want the cage match. That's pretty definitive. It's over 4 million votes cast worldwide, so.
Do you remember a couple of years ago, I think it was Hell in a Cell 2017, Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon?
Oh, yeah, I do.
It was Hell in a Cell, falls count anywhere. How does that make sense?
That makes no sense. It makes
You're
no sense.
To be in the cell.
It makes no sense unless you figure, they always get out of the cell, so this is how they get.
But like here, it makes sense. Like false count anywhere or a steel cage match. You can't combine them.
I like that better. Yeah.
Come
on. It's not Hell in a Cell. It's just a steel cage match. Okay. And I suppose it's WWE rules, so they can get out over the top. So I guess you can win by getting out over the top. All right. Flair brought the good belt. Brought the good robe.
Oh yeah. I never liked that though. The climbing out of the cage to win. Don't you think that's like the opposite? The steel cage is supposed to keep everybody in.
Yeah, it should.
And settle a score if somebody wins by escaping.
Well, the idea is the one who's left standing walks out of the cage, and that's fine. That's just never how it ended up working.
I feel like it's just a way, I guess, to protect the guy that's about to lose.
I think in one of my e-feds, I called this rule the Connecticut cage match. Exit the cage or pinfall submission or exit the cage. That's good enough, I guess.
I like that. I'm going to steal that. The Connecticut cage match. King Kong Bundy versus Hulk Hogan in a Connecticut cage match.
Right. Yeah. There he is. Oh, the old music. Hey! Hey!
You know, at least as they're burying him, at least he's getting this main event.
Right. Well, he's main event at SummerSlam, he made an event at Unforgiven, and now he's main eventing Taboo Tuesday.
I think he main events Survivor Series too.
Yeah, I think that was when we started the whole run of Randy Orton survives every year at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Then we can say. All right, there he is. Up there. Randy Orton has fans. I mean, he's over. He's over. The RKO's over,
There's no doubt about it. Just not over with Triple H.
They could have dragged it out to WrestleMania 21 and had Orton win, but they wouldn't have made Batista that way.
Right.
I mean, what they did worked with Batista. I mean, they could have done it a different way, and they could have, had Randy Orton be that babyface star that I guess John Cena ended up becoming.
I don't think you go in the PG direction with Orton, though. You got to keep it
That's true.
PG era, you need it.
Backstage. Oh, my God. Randy Orton pooped in my bag.
Right. Yeah. He doesn't scream PG to me.
Randy Orton's backstage lighting up a joint. Oh, my goodness. Wasn't that one of those stories that he lit up a joint in front of Linda McMahon?
Yes. He just doesn't care.
Yeah. He's not a locker room leader, but, people just give him his due and,
Yeah, you always hear him backstage stories, him talking back to Michaels, him talking back to Triple H. They told Umaga not to wear something. He told Umaga, make sure you wear it. I don't give a crap what color it is. Like, funny stuff, like you always hear with him, like not caring about anybody. Linda, Triple H, Vince, Shane,
he's really
Shawn
good.
Michaels.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yep.
But that's probably why he never got that run as the top babyface. Yeah. I mean, WrestleMania 25, he really was the top babyface going in, but they let Hunter win it anyway. Pretend he was a babyface. So.
Yeah, yep. And that match is awful. Remember they wrestled that match backwards? They did the finishers first, and they started back.
Yeah,
and then just ended out of nowhere with Triple H winning. It was awful.
Yeah, that wasn't exactly a masterpiece. Fortunately, Shawn Michaels and Undertaker are on the same card, so yeah. We all forgot that.
Yep, saved the show.
Yep. Thank goodness for that.
And then a month later at Backlash, Orton beats Triple H anyway. So it's like, why not just do it?
Why are you?
It's stretching this crap out. Why?
Because they're WWE. Big man goes for St. Louis.
Oh, he's bleeding already.
Oh, yeah. He's busted open early. He learned from, you know. Well, they don't have as much time as Flair would normally get for a cage match. So.
Yeah, definitely not. Feels like they should have cut out some of those videos and given them this match some more time.
Yeah, no kidding.
Or maybe just not done the lingerie pillow fight.
Well, you got to have a lingerie pillow fight. I mean.
Oh, yeah, true. You got to keep it on the card. Yeah, true.
But I think you could have gotten away with, oh, geez, we didn't have time for the lingerie pillow fight, so we're going to do it on Raw. You know, I think they could have gotten away with that one.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, into the cage.
You always have that one. You always, yeah. A major pay-per-view, you always keep that one thing that you can cut for time if you have to.
Yes, definitely. Do you ever look at the guys like, wow, he blades really well, or bleeds really well, really? Like Orton right now, he looks pretty good. The Rock never bled well at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Austin, I mean, there, you know, in the Indies, there were some guys like that. I mean, I saw there was one guy we had who was really good at blading. You know, worked a switchblade. I saw him down an entire bottle of aspirin backstage before the show, though.
Wow, thin his blood.
Yeah, before he was going to bleed that night. Yeah.
Smart. Okay.
Yeah. Of course, the one night he did that in Maryland, where they actually had a doctor's physical. You know, he couldn't pass. He does it before he does the physical, and the doctors won't pass him.
Smart guy.
Well, you know. Maryland folks.
Hey, but Orton bleeding pretty good here. Flair doing some damage. I'm loving this match.
Of course, WWE had the solution for Baltimore. Oh, yeah, really? How much is the fine for that? Okay, do you take a cashier's check? Okay, we're good.
Yep, no doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be blading. We'll have men wrestle women. What else do we want to do? Yeah, okay. We may let Flair take over. I mean, Orton's here selling for Flair, you know?
Oh, Flair's licking the blood off of his hand.
Because Flair's having a good time. Escape the cage, pinfall, or submission.
Orton really is making H look really good here.
Yeah. I think for making Ric Flair look really good, that time that Flair worked The Rock on Raw, and The Rock would sell the chops like he had fire ants crawling across his chest. It was great.
Yes, that was awesome.
Yeah. All right, and back comes Orton.
I just remember an awesome match on ECW with Big Show, too. I don't know if you remember that, like, crazy wild brawl, quote-unquote Extreme Rules match. I was like, man, Flair's just going nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Good match, though. He definitely, for whatever reason, he felt like he had a lot to prove. Like, even against Kurt Angle, he took that crazy bump off the top of the ropes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I it's not the first time, you know, older wrestlers still trying to prove, I can still do this. I belong. You know?
Right. Moon over Miami.
Right.
They're not getting that shot in there. Of his
moon
butt,
over
though.
Milwaukee is more like it, but yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, good point. Moon over Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Of course,
Flair's going to show his ass. You know?
Yep.
Like I said, that was like every house. That was like every WCW house show when Flair was a heel.
Yep.
And Kurt Angle, I mean, if Angle and Ric Flair had ever feuded, they probably would have done a moon off, you know?
Yes. Yep. Flair is busted wide open as well. This is old school cage match.
Double
both
juice,
guys are bleeding.
Juice,
yeah.
There we go.
Ooh, he left.
I don't think Vince McMahon was ever comfortable with having guys blade, though. I think he was ever. I mean, he got away from it relatively quickly.
Yeah. Didn't seem like the WWE.
It just wasn't his thing.
Yep.
Amazing. I don't know how often Bruno bladed, but yeah. Right inside the cage. Backlund wasn't really a, I don't remember Backlund blading a lot either, so.
I know Hogan loved to, but not a lot of blading going on in the Hogan era.
Right. Okay, yep. Keep choking him. There we go. Yeah, I mean, you can keep, what's Earl going to do? Disqualify you for a cage match? Probably, but. There we go. Got to have that spot with Flair. Flair will be upset if you don't. If you don't do that, Flair will rake his own head against the fencing. There we go. Yeah. I forgot Orton used to do drop kicks.
He actually had a pretty good Mr. Perfect-esque standing drop kick that he used to do. Pretty impressive for a guy 6'5", 6'6".
Doesn't work as well when you're a heel, though.
No.
Or when definitely. You're doing that character that you end up doing.
Oh, here we go.
Viper.
Here we go.
All right, ass over tea kettle. Yay. Good job.
You know Flair golf at spot. You know that.
I hope we have something this good at Crown Jewel.
I agree. Maybe Edge Rollins, maybe?
Yeah, that's probably your best hope.
Well, Lesnar and Reigns usually have pretty good chemistry.
Yeah, they do. It's just, I don't know. It depends on how long Lesnar feels like going.
Usually less than 10 minutes. There's no doubt about that.
I think, Big E and Drew might, they might do something. Who knows?
Yeah, that could be good.
Yeah. Oh, too.
They are putting a lot of energy into Crown Jewel. You know what I mean? Like Lashley and Goldberg.
That's where the money is.
But Thursday, right? Thursday afternoon, it's a weird time.
That's what the Saudis paid for. I'm more amazed that they're like pushing the December pay-per-view back to January 1st.
Yeah, that's pretty surprising. There's no December pay-per-view. Can't even remember the last time, right? I mean, it's been a long time since there was no December pay-per-view.
Yeah, it has been a long time. I mean, it's usually a dead zone in the year, though.
Yeah, there's usually no juice to the pay-per-view. It's usually like TLC or some.
If they just made the December show Starcade, and
Yeah.
They could turn it back into
something. Get some juice into it.
Although, yeah, it's kind of hard to do that the month before the Rumble, though.
Oh, the brass knucks.
The brass knucks. Jimmy Kimmel, eat your words now. Very nice. They could have had Flair win with the brass knucks, but yeah. I can't end the show that way.
I feel like Earl's so obvious, like when the guy's about to kick out with his three. I know.
Earl has the spots too.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Can't believe going to a TNA house show. Earl Hebner just refereed his 100,000th match. Oh, really? When did he do this? Yeah. I mean, just do the math. You know that's not the case.
Right.
Oh, here we go.
Flair is bleeding like crazy.
But he got the chair.
Yes.
It's legal.
Pretty savvy move there by Flair, sneaking the chair into the cage.
And he's going to. Oh, no. There we go. RKO. Yep. Great finish.
That's over.
Great finish. Nice.
That's how you do it.
Oh, he actually looks even bloodier than he did before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they both did a hell of a job. The thing is, no matter what happened on the rest of the show, you come out, people ask about that. I'm like, oh, yeah, there was this great bloody cage match with Orton and Flair. And it wasn't great. It wasn't like a 4-star cage match, but,
it was good. It was entertaining. I liked that it was just a bloody brawl.
Yep.
Old school style. I mean, right. Flair, obviously advanced age.
They weren't trying to lock. They weren't doing chain wrestling.
Yep. Good stuff. I liked it a lot.
I did too.
I haven't seen this probably in 17 years.
17 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Fans came through, Jerry Lawler says. It's been an unbelievable night. Well, I mean, I've seen worse, yeah. He beat Ric Flair inside a cage. You know, that was yeah, they're acting like it was Randy Orton's boyhood dream in 1980 and like, yeah. I'm gonna beat Rick and Orton's actually thinking, I'm gonna beat Flair in a cage in 2004. Won't he be retired by then? No.
Oh, what? What is going on here?
Yeah, this is Flair ad lib. Flair ad libbed this.
Really?
I it's my understanding that this was like, yeah. The babyface tease was kind of, yeah. But I mean, nothing came of this, yeah.
Yep.
You'd think something would come of this. But nothing did. I mean, this I think this was both of them, you know.
Yep. They're, I wonder what Earl's being told.
They're just in the moment. All right, come on, separate it. Come on, you guys. Break it up. And then they kiss. No, no, not really. Well, they would have hugged, yeah. Well, the Flair is crying, but you can't see him under all that blood, see? That's good. Earl's like, guys? Yeah, it was just kind of a surprising way to end the show, but, you know, nothing came of the idea of Flair turning babyface, which is probably for the best, at least at that point. All right, so...
Good sign of respect, though.
It was good.
It's the most successful independent wrestling promotion of this generation. It's the place where the stars of today made their name. Now get the inside story of Ring of Honor from those that lived it with an honorable mention. Join Ring of Honor alumni Shane Hagedorn and his co-host Jeff Schwartz as they break down a classic Ring of Honor event every Tuesday and get the behind-the-scenes scoop and inside stories that you won't hear anywhere else. An honorable mention, available every Tuesday on your favorite podcast platform. For exclusive bonus content plus early ad-free access to every show, check out patreon.com/anhonorablepod.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at jamendo.com or on his website musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
All right, so that, ladies and gentlemen, was Taboo Tuesday for 2004. Now I got to find what comes next, and this is where the show prep would have come in handy. But anyway, let's go ahead and find it. All right. I mean, I don't remember actually enjoying it. I remember enjoying the main event. But, you know, it's one of those things that it's one of those things that looks better in hindsight, I guess.
Yeah, like living through it, you're like, nothing special. But watching it back, you're like, not bad at all.
Not bad. I can,
three good matches in a pay-per-view. You know, you're probably pretty happy that you spent your money well worth.
Yeah, it. Plus I'm pretty sure I watched it at Hooters instead of like paying full price for it. So that makes a difference. Let's see, continue to the ring results. All right, let's see. Okay, I'm gonna go back to WWE in 2004. And yeah, I mean, that was the other problem is, unlike now where you have, we had a Friday night where all sorts of crazy stuff happened. So a good weekend for wrestling, and there wasn't even a pay-per-view. WWE was it, that and TNA, and that Ring of Honor was great at this point, but, you know, that wasn't what was best for business, I think. You know, I think we need what we're having now, where there's competition and people are trying to, people are trying to beat the crap out of each other by putting on better shows. All right. So the next show after this, Raw showed up on Friday to do a house show in Green Bay, Wisconsin. 2,100 people turned out in the Rush Center. They got to see Shelton Benjamin defend his Intercontinental title by defeating Christian with an exploder. And in the main event, a big six-man tag. It was Randy Orton, Chris Jericho, and Chris Benoit defeating Triple H, Ric Flair, and Batista. Match went 20 minutes. Orton pinned Triple H. Yeah, that would have been a good match to go see.
Yeah, definitely.
I think so. So then, and just things continued from there. Let's see. What happened with TNA? It doesn't. I don't know that it matters. Well, look anyway. All right. So it's October. Yeah, we're going into Victory Road, I think. Right. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, they're doing it. Yeah, they've got Impact tapings. They don't do it anything until the Impact taping the next week, which is. And there's not much there. They headline that with Jeff Hardy beating Petey Williams. So nothing wrong with that per se. But yeah. Let's see, what is Ring of Honor up to? At some point, I guess we got to do Ring of Honor from this era. Like a full Ring of Honor show, just because of everybody that was on shows back then.
All right, and they were awesome back then.
No Ring of Honor at that point, but there was an IWA Mid-South show in Highland, Indiana, October 23rd, which I guess would be the Saturday night. And on that show, let's see, there was something TNA related. The main event was for the IWA Mid-South heavyweight title. The then champion AJ Styles loses to CM Punk. And the other half of the IWA Mid-South main event, Samoa Joe, Nate Webb, and Ace Steel team up in a six-man, losing to Nigel McGuinness, Austin Aries, and Roderick Strong. Why? Who cares? It was probably a hell of a match.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
And Ring of Honor, they're setting up for their big shows of November. The Weekend of Thunder, two dates on Jushin Liger, including an honest-to-God Jushin Liger-Brian Danielson match in 2004.
Very good match.
Yes,
I still have the DVDs, actually.
I've got that packed away too somewhere. All right, so that's where it was. That's where it ended up. Now, the important part, we have more shows coming up here, and it's time, John, to pick the shows that everybody's going to vote on, and we're going to put it up on Twitter at Real Pat McNeil, and the fans get to make a choice. Now, let's see here.
I thought you were just going to say it's time, it's Vader time.
No, it could be Vader time. All right, I've gone through the list of fan-requested shows. I keep the list here. The one that's sort of, trying to look for the most theme-appropriate. I think the most theme-appropriate out of what we have here is Halloween Havoc 1992, which we have not done. That's the Havoc returns to Philadelphia for WCW. And you've got Sting and Jake Roberts doing Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal. On top of which you have... supposed to be Ron Simmons and Cactus Jack for the World Heavyweight title. Cactus Jack, I think, tore a muscle in his abdomen and was out for a while. But Cactus got to be in the corner of the Barbarian. So, yes, the Barbarian gets a world title shot. Well, that's money right there. Let's see. Okay, do you want to go next, John, or should I go next? You get to make a pick.
You can go. I love Havoc 92, though.
Yeah, I would be okay with that winning, by the way.
Yeah, it's funny. It's a little disappointing looking back some of the matches, like Rude versus Chono after they had an epic match in Japan, like awesome match, almost like a 5-star match, if you will, in Japan. It's just like what a disappointment it was in America. So a lot of that card is disappointment. Jake Roberts a little out of shape, Cactus getting hurt. But for some reason, I really like that card. I don't know why. Yeah. Something about it. Maybe it's just that time period of WCW.
Well, I'd have you come back and do it if you weren't. I need to. I'm going to try to spread it around. I'll try to let some. There are some other people who like guest hosting for some reason, so we'll give them a shot at it. But I've enjoyed having you do it, John. All right. So here's what I was thinking. We're going into the fall. We did a fall brawl, but we haven't done the first fall brawl, which would be technically the NWA Clash of Champions 3 from 1988. Clash of Champions 3 fall brawl. On there, some big stuff going on. Dusty Rhodes versus Kevin Sullivan. And there's a story behind that. That match was kind of thrown together at the last minute after after, geez, I'm trying to remember what exactly happened here. Hold on. Ron Garvin left. So Dusty got Kevin Sullivan instead. There we go. Because Garvin decided to leave before Dusty had finished jobbing him out.
Yep.
Very disappointing, I'm sure.
Weird heel turn with the money and everything. It was just weird.
Let's see. You also had Ricky Morton versus Ivan Koloff in the Russian chain match. And Barry Windham defending the U.S. title against Sting. So, yeah, that's
not a bad show from what I remember.
Yep, not bad at all. All right, it is now it's your opportunity, sir.
Now, what is the time period?
Anything 15 years old or older, and you can go earlier than 15 minutes if you have a good you can go earlier, more recent than 15 years if you have a good reason.
Did you ever do Havoc 91?
Yes.
Damn it.
Like the first year of the show. I know.
Love that. What about
in the
Havoc?
Archives, by the way, on Patreon.
What about Havoc 90?
Yes. Yes, Havoc. Yes, also to Havoc 89. We did that one last year, I think.
Havoc 93, did you do?
Yes. Oh yes. God, Vader and 94. And 95, I think. Yeah.
Wow. Did you ever do Fall Brawl 94?
No. No, we did not.
Ooh. That's a good one.
With the War Games, yeah.
Yeah. And a nice three-way dance with Sting, Big Bubba Rogers, a.k.a. the Guardian Angel, and Vader, which was great. Yeah.
Okay.
Especially when it becomes Sting and Vader.
All right. We can if that's what you want, we'll put it on the list. Absolutely.
You just made the list.
You just made the list. Fall Brawl 94. It is... it's Dusty Rhodes' team in the War Games against Colonel Parker's team, if I recall correctly. And Sting and Vader and the Guardian Angel in a three-way. Or a triangle match, or whatever you want to call it. There were some weird rules to it. And I think and your guy Kevin Sullivan against Cactus Jack.
Yes.
There we go. A lot to recommend it. All right. And now we go to the randomizer. The randomizer is so popular that... often imitated, never duplicated. We have literally thousands of shows on the big wheel, and I forgot to set up the big wheel, so give me just this. All right, John, so thousands of choices on the wheel, and we'll give it a big spin. Literally everything that's on Peacock on the wheel. Okay, we have World Championship Wrestling for the 80s, Primetime, Mid-Atlantic, WWE Pay-Per-Views, Hidden Gems, TNA, and we stop at... Oh, no. This is not good. Uh-oh. I hate to break this to you, everybody, but cue the music. Yep. You know, normally I'd be okay with the wheel coming up King of the Ring, but I am decidedly not okay that out of the thousands of things I could have pulled from here, it comes up with King of the Ring 95.
Oh, God. Come on.
Yeah, I know. And that was not a good show, folks. I'll be upset if that one gets chosen and I have to deal with it for 3 hours. King of the Ring 95, Philadelphia, June 95, in the heart of ECW country. What could possibly go wrong with WWE doing a major pay-per-view there? Featured bouts, the tag team match, which is Diesel and Bam Bam Bigelow against Sid and Tatanka. Oh, and Bret Hart and Jerry Lawler in a Kiss My Foot match. And, of course, the King of the Ring tournament itself. How could they possibly screw up the King of the Ring? Well, you're going to find out, folks. King of the Ring 95. So that's four incredible choices. Let's see. We got Havoc. We got Fall. We got Clash of Champions 3, Fall Brawl 94, and King of the Ring 95. So you have a 75% chance of voting correctly, believe it or not. I hope you all take advantage of it. And, let's see. So that's going to be up on Real Pat McNeil by the time this airs, and on Twitter. And speaking of that, I guess it's time to mention this part. Visit us on Twitter. I'm at Real Pat McNeil. Jim is at Jim Valley. Say hi to him. He'll appreciate that. John Paz is at Two Man Power Trip. And John, tell. In addition to you doing the Taskmaster Talks show with Kevin Sullivan here on the Creative Control Network, what other shows do you do, sir?
Got my two-man power trip interview series, which you can get on the two-man power trip of wrestling's podcasting empire feed. Also, Taking to School, Dr. Tom Pritchard, and Business of the Business with Mr. Lavi Marglin. Those two shows are, of course, on the Creative Control Network. Anything else, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at two-man power trip and check out all the other shows because I got plenty of other ones coming out as well.
John Paz, the one-man empire, we thank you for doing this. Also, leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever the heck your pods are cast. Doesn't matter to us. And if you'd like to know more about Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Ric Flair, Randy Orton, or Jerry the King Lawler, feel free to visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or The Wrestling Observer, or go download your local library app because they're all in books. John!
Join us next week. Same way back time, same playback channel.
Yes, cast your vote at Real Pat McNeil, and please join us next week. Patreon.com/WaybackPlayback, Facebook.com/WaybackPlaybackPodcast, or just however, and leave ideas, suggestions, questions for me on Twitter at Real Pat McNeil. We thank you very much for doing this, and still got a whole lot to come here in 2021. Looking forward to see what you give us. I think it's going to be Havoc, to be honest with you, but I'm willing to hear what you have to say. John, thank you again. I'm sure you'll be back at some point.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I will definitely be back. No doubt about it.
Yes, and hopefully you'll be back with us. Until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.